A reading from Psalms 136, beginning at the first verse. We will read it responsively by the half verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
For his steadfast love endures
forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The Gospel of the Lord.
I'm going to invite Reggie to come up, and I'm going to pray for him. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for Reggie. We thank you for the word that you've given him to share with your people this morning. We ask, Lord, that your word would be spoken and your word would be heard. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated.
It's good to see all of you again. I hope you've been doing well. Thank you for coming out this morning. And Joshua, thank you so much for setting the tone for this morning's worship with the selection of those beautiful and meaningful songs. Michael, thank you for asking me to do this. When Michael called me 2 days ago or 3 days ago and asked me if I could help preach this Sunday, he wanted me to do 2 things. He said, "I want you to preach on Psalm 136, and I want you to keep it within 20 minutes. All right? And then he said, "If you really can do Psalm 136, we'll try to work with you, but I really want Psalm 136. So you're going to get Psalm 136 about the 20 minutes. Don't know about that." All right, so let us now prepare our hearts and minds to receive God's word. Precious Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this congregation, this pastor. Thank you for being there for them, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be among us now through this service. Speak to us through your word, Lord. May your word comfort your people. May your word heal your people. And if there is anyone here this morning who has not come to the faith, may your word bring them to the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A man and his wife and his mother-in-law went on a vacation to the Holy Land. And while they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. How sad, right? The undertaker told them, "You can have her shipped home for $5,000, or we can bury her here in the Holy Land for just $150. The man thought for a moment and said, "I would rather spend that money and have her shipped back home." That surprised the undertaker, and he asked, "Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to have her here buried in the Holy Land for just $150? The man said, "I heard of a man who died and was buried here 2,000 years ago, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and I just can't take that chance with my mother-in-law." If you have your Bibles, please open them to Psalm 136. And as we go through this psalm, if we can see that on the overheads, that will help as well. Most scholars and theologians believe that Psalm 136 was a popular hymn among the Lord's ancient people. Apparently, they sang that in the temple courts. Scripture does not say, but I imagine it became a favorite song because it was so full of praise and adoration of Almighty God. And those repetitious words, "His steadfast love endures forever," must have lifted them to their feet and brought their hands together as they praised their wonderful and good God. Verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you, my friends? God is inherently good. That is his nature. He cannot be anything other than good. All of that sounds great, but how many of us have actually taken time to thank God for his many blessings? The enemy is watching. He's not a silent spectator, and he has done a very good job of keeping us all so very busy every day that we can't even think of God, let alone having time to give him thanks. I wonder if there's anyone here like that, or is it just me? Friends, learn to take time to thank God for the little things in life. For example, when you wake in the morning, thank the Lord for another day he has given to you. So many people haven't woken this morning and will never awake. Thank him for keeping you in good health and in the right mind. As you go to the refrigerator to make yourself, take some milk, to make yourself a cup of coffee, thank him that you have some food to eat. As your children run through the door, thank him that you have children or a spouse. Then as you prepare to go to work in the morning, give him thanks. He's a good God. You may remember there were 10 lepers that Jesus had healed, but only one of them came back to give him thanks. Let us not be like that 9, my friends. Strive to be like the one who came back to give thanks to the Master. God loves thankful people. And here I'm suggesting something else. Even through your hardships, learn to thank God for his goodness, because the Almighty God still reigns and he has not abandoned you. Your life and future will always be secure in the precious hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Moving on to verse 2 and 3, it says, "He is God of gods and Lord of lords." The sovereignty of God is truly a great and wonderful reason to give him thanks, because he is above all and there is none like him. He is Alpha, he is Omega, he is the beginning, and he is the end. You may remember when Jesus took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and there was a wall there with all the pagan gods carved out. And then he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And he said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah." But Jesus then looked at his disciples and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Millions have come to know Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What about you? Have you made him your personal Savior? The time is coming, and I believe it may not be far away, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Pray and prepare for that moment so it doesn't catch you by surprise. Verse 4 to 9 tell how God created the heavens and the earth. It is important to know and believe that God is both creator and sustainer of all things. He is awesome in power and might, and there is none like him. King David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." But there's something even more amazing than that. In the same way that God created the universe, he created you. Not only that, you were made a little higher than the angels, and then you were created in his image. Yes, we know that image has been damaged It has been tarnished, but yet you are still a child of the Most High God. Your faith may waver, you may not be perfect, but never forget who you are and whose you are. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. But wait, God hasn't finished with you yet. Just like the potter and the clay, he wants to take all the broken pieces, put them together, and recreate and make a more beautiful you. So instead of allowing yourself to be caught in that spiritual cul-de-sac, give it all to him. Surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to figure this out. This is not a mathematical equation. And then where he leads, learn to follow. Always pay attention to that still small voice. Moving on to verse 10 through 20, it tells us how God redeemed his people and how he fought for them. He struck Egypt and he brought his children out with an outstretched arm. And then we are told he parted the Red Sea. In like manner, my friends, the Lord will fight your battles as well when you put your trust in him. That doesn't mean to say you are never going to have any storms in your life. They will come. It may rage. Things may seem to fall apart at times. But when you are a child of God, you can boldly say, no weapon formed against me will ever prosper, and I can do all things, not some things, through Jesus Christ my Lord who strengthens me. That Golgotha road, that road of suffering, sometimes it might loom over you. Sometimes it may be over you for a long time. But always remember that Easter Sunday is just around the corner. The psalmist wants to remind us over and over again that God is in control. It's not over till he says it is over. Your problems may look big, and sometimes they are, but know this, you have an even bigger God. Trials may come, but when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you will always have a song on your heart and a smile on your face. I know you know a lot of people like that. I particularly like verse 16. It says he led his people through the wilderness. This means you are never alone. The good shepherd knows how to take care of his sheep. He alone knows where the water is still and where the grass is green. As a shepherd, he also provides for his sheep. Verse 25 says it is he who gives all flesh food to eat. By the way, sheep and goats were very precious commodities to the Palestinian shepherds, the place where Jesus grew up. The Palestinian shepherds took very good care of their flock, but they raised them to be slaughtered to feed the people. And there is a big difference between the Palestinian shepherd and the good shepherd. Instead of the sheep dying for the shepherd, our shepherd chose to die for his sheep so that we might live forever. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Verse 21 to 25 shows God to be a gratuitous God who wants to give. He wants to bestow goodness and grace and mercy to us, even though we don't deserve anything. It tells us that he gave his people lands. He gave them flocks. He gave them food. And he gave them so much more. And in like manner, I'm sure you are blessed with many wonderful things, many gifts, many possessions. But know this, my friends. Your possessions you will have to leave when we take that last journey on planet Earth. I hope you are not attached to your possessions, but instead I hope you attach to the giver of those possessions. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And I'm not talking about houses, I'm not talking about cars. Jesus wants to give you the perfect gift, an even greater gift, and that is the gift of eternal life. So instead of owning a small patch of land here on planet Earth, you and I have the potential to become the heir of an eternal kingdom. Look at verse 23. It says, He remembered us in our lowly estate. So many of us feel so inadequate in faith and in so many other means. But the Lord, He just didn't remember us. He did something about it. Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did something about it. Why? Have you wondered why He did that? Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever